From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone, to Mind Health Matters with the Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you've been living under a rock, you may not know that Bernie is a pioneer educating the doctors back in the day all about mind-body connection. He's a pediatric surgeon, all retired and 91 years old and still telling all his stories. If you're tuning in for the first time, we are Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We are syndicated international. You can listen to us wherever you are, in a car, online, with your apps, on your phone, and asking Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. So, Bernie, we have a conversation today, and you mentioned you'd like to talk about dying, because we're all going in the same direction.
Yeah, and to keep power over it. You know, you just mentioned this. My wife died about 8 years ago, and I went in to wake her up in the morning. When I took her hand, it was so cold, I knew she had died. But how peaceful and calm, you know, to die in your sleep.
And that's a blessing.
Yeah, and she was 88 at the time. You know, I'm 91 now. And you have some days where you're tired and you begin to think, you know, how much longer am I going to be here doing things? But then you have days where it's lots of fun, and you know, keep going.
What's fun for Bernie?
What?
What's fun for when you say when you're having fun? Like, what makes you happy and fun?
What makes me being drunk? No. What makes me? It's relationships with people. Getting them to smile and laugh and have a nice day. Let me start with this tune. I mean, with this song and the story.
Okay.
My father got tired of life. Yeah, and one day, I heard him say, he was in the bedroom, sitting on the bed, and he said, "I need to get out of here." And my mother says, "Help your father out of bed." I said, "Mom, he's not talking about the bed. He's talking about his body. He doesn't feel good. He's in pain. He wants to leave." So my mother went in and gave him permission. And I said to him, "When do you want to die?" He said, "Friday afternoon." I said, "Okay."
He actually said the time and the day?
Said Friday afternoon, yeah. And we took him to the hospital because he was so uncomfortable, you know, for them to control his pain. He had a lot of chest pain. His father had died of tuberculosis. I mean, he had a lot of problems from his father that he lived his whole life with. And he was pointing at his chest saying, "I need to get out of here." My mother thought he meant the bed. But I said to him, "When do you want to die? Because I know we have a lot more power than we think." He said, "Friday afternoon." I said, "Okay, we'll tell everybody." And we sent notices out to everybody in the family and said, "Come on, we're having a party Friday afternoon. Come on to, you know, Grandpa's room, and we'll be with him, and then he can die when he wants to with everybody loving him and, you know, having a nice day." So that Friday arrives. He's in the hospital. We go to visit. And everybody's coming in, you know, filling up the room, because we knew who was coming, so we weren't going to do anything until they were all there. But then somebody asked me, "Do you know how your parents met?" I said, "No, I have no idea." "But then ask your father." And this is when I say somebody. I have an angel named George. He came into the hospital room, and he said to me, ask your father how he met your mother. And I mm-hmm. always do what George tells me. So I went over to my father and said, Dad, how did you meet Mom? And he said, oh, I was with a bunch of boys on the beach one day. They're in New York, you know, like in Coney Island in the beach. He said, and we were mm-hmm. walking down the beach, and there was a bunch of girls who were there every weekend, and they have a terrible reputation. And so we started walking towards them. Now, my mother said, Bernie, I was on the beach that day where I wasn't usually, and I saw a bunch of girls there, and I walked over to sit with them because I felt safer. I was on vacation with the family, but I felt safer sitting with a bunch of girls. I didn't know the reputation they had. So my father's walking down the beach with these other guys, and they see the girls. And he said, yeah, so we tossed coins to see who would get which girl. And the end of the story was, and your father lost and got me. Everybody in the room burst out laughing. And that changed the whole day. My father kept telling stories. We were laughing. When does he decide to die? I thought, oh, my God, he's going to say, never mind, I'll live till tomorrow. It was really fun. And everybody had come. The room was filled. But he, it's like intuitively knew who was coming. And when our daughter Carolyn walked in, she was the last one on the list, and she finally arrived, he took a breath and died. And
wow.
Nobody in that room was afraid of dying after that. I mean, mm-hmm. he died laughing. Everything was just beautiful. And, you know, they walked out not crying and moaning and groaning, but with a different sense of life. And that's the important part. And so many others in our family, I'm going to go through a bunch. like my mother, she had cancer, and she knew what I was doing with exceptional cancer patients. And, I mean, she shocked her doctors with how well she did and way outlived expectations. And then she got tired and ready to go. And but I told all her doctors, she was now in the hospital, and the staff, I said, look, she's never going to die with me in the room. That'll be like she's letting me down. So when I step out or take a break, then be ready to be in there with her. And sure enough, later that day, I took a break to go out. I came back, and they said, you're right. She died while you were away. I said, I told you. She didn't want to let me down, you know, by dying. And you know, and it just left you with a different feeling that, again, it was her choice.
Right.
I was in a
sense. Wouldn't that be neat if we were able to have a party and go out like your grandfather did? And the other thing to ask you, Bernie, is what do you think about what if we all knew the day we were going to die and transition? Do you like that idea?
I think most people would probably get upset because it is shortening your life, you know, even if you're 95. And that's why if you knew it was the person's choice, not just when they're going to die, like somebody's going to get hit by a truck, you know what I mean? But if you knew the person said, I'm tired of my body, I'm not living really, I need to leave, and be perfect again. See, think of that. Mm-hmm. Death is becoming dreamless, unalive, and perfect. And that's the part you have to remember. You leave your body, it's not a problem. So I've had family and patients say to me, no dinner, no medication. And I said to the nurses, he's dying tonight. And I came in the next morning to the hospital, and they said he died last night. I knew he would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says no dinner, no pills, I know what he's saying. So when somebody chooses it in that way, Because then they're not really living. They're not comfortable in their body. And that's what you have to realize. And don't make them feel guilty so they can die surrounded by loved ones. That's the important part, why I'm really saying this to families. I mean, say to your family, you know, if you're getting tired, if you're sore, if you need to go, it's okay. We'll be with you. We love you. You know, your love will stay with us. I don't remember who said this quote, love is immortal and makes all things immortal, while hate dies every minute. But you want to live forever, love somebody. And I mean that. You know, as I say, yeah, my wife died, and I miss her, but she's also here all the time with me. I haven't moved out of my house that we lived in, because I just couldn't bring myself to leave it, because everything's alive in the house. And let me tell you another side of the coin. If I can go on. When you die, there's like a spirit that comes. And these are things that began to happen to me at the hospital. A patient I was operating on, and the anesthesiologist said to me, Bernie, his heart stopped. I'm sending his body to the morgue. You can stop the surgery. At that point, I saw, I can only call it a cloud, a small cloud, a few feet long, rise out of the body up into the air. And I thought, that's got to be his spirit. It's going. So I yelled out loud, Jimmy, it's not your time yet. Come on back. This cloud turned and went back in the body, and his heart started beating again. And the anesthesiologist
said to me, what an experience to witness that.
Listen to the words of the anesthesiologist. Bernie, I love working with you. And the guy recovered. Now, let me tell you one more so you understand. My mother-in-law was an opera singer. And when I started dating her daughter, I got this news. Because there was a piano in the living room. My wife was never on time for the date. So I'd sit at the piano, tinkle away, and sing. And my mother-in-law would walk around the entire house, shutting every window, door, everything. And after I dated her daughter a few times, I wondered, what the hell is she doing every time I come in here? So I said to her, why do you keep going around shutting everything? She said, you sing so poorly. It's torturing me. But I don't want our neighbors to suffer also, so I close everything. And she said, if you're going to continue to date my daughter, you cannot sing in the house or the car. I said, okay. Then I learned she'd been an opera singer. I mean, a really well-known opera singer. And that's why when I sang, it tortured her. I mean, she is incredible. I mean, it's interesting how people feel about themselves. And she ended up going to a nursing home. And I would tell them that she's an opera singer. Let her sing. So sometimes I go to eat lunch with her, and I'd get her to sing, and which she didn't like to do because, you know, when you're in your 90s, you're not the opera singer anymore. She was critical of her voice then, but it was incredibly beautiful. So I'd get her to sing. But one day I was at religious services several years later, and I saw the door to the synagogue open. And a cloud came in, just like the guy in the operating room. And then I noticed it turned, came up the aisle, right to me. And I knew it was my mother-in-law, that she had just died and was saying goodbye. So I jumped up, because after she said goodbye, she just left and, you know, went out of the synagogue and was gone. That cloud, I went to her nursing home. And as I walked into the nursing home, a nurse saw me and yelled, your mother-in-law, she just died. I was going to call you. I said, you don't have to call me. I knew she had. She came and said goodbye. Now, you can say I'm nuts or how could that happen? But it happened.
That's right.
And I had to follow my heart and do what I was, you know, visualizing and feeling, and not worry what people thought about me saying things like that or doing those things. And people should know that, you know, death is a separation. Yeah, it broke my heart. I mean, let me say that when I found my wife died, I had felt like I was stabbed in my heart. It hurt. And I ended up in the hospital because of it, because my heartbeat went crazy. I had to go to the hospital. And I think I may have told you that story. My wife was born on 9/9. And when I walked in the emergency room, I hadn't even signed in, you know, for them to check my heart because of the pain. I heard a voice yell, "Put him in room 9. I thought, oh my God, my wife is here already. Then they said, "We don't have a room for you in the hospital yet." I thought, that's insane. At Yale New Haven Hospital, they don't have one bed for a man. But the next day, they said, "We got it." It was 8/19. And then my wristband, which I've now left it on me, because every time you go to a visit of a doctor, you know, in the Yale system, they put a plastic wristband on you to identify you. And it's stamped with numbers that are given to you, so it identifies you, you know, not your name, but a set of numbers. And I mentioned to you about 9. Well, listen to this. This is my wife's number that was given to her, or to me, I mean, but think of her 9s. Now, 8 is a new beginning. That's the end of the week in every religion. The 8th day is a new week and a new beginning. While religions have different days in their months, every religion has 7 days in a week. So here's the number, 3-8-9-3-9-6-6. So there's 2 9s, 2 3s, 2 6s. Everyone is up to 9. And when I saw that, I knew, my wife's taking care of me. I can, you know, stop worrying and just relax. And, you know, people think I'm crazy. I mean, I'm not going to the hospital.
Not today, I don't think, Bernie.
Well, I mean, after my wife died, and I was showing everybody, you know, they think I'm crazy because I'm walking up to everybody, showing them, look, it's all 9s. I mean, everything was coming out 9s. You know, if you added them, and so the staff was looking at me like, yeah, we know, because every time they'd bring something in that had a number on it, they'd say, yeah, we know, it adds up to 9s. They didn't buy the package, so to speak, you know, that it was really mystical. They're just saying it's a coincidence. But, you know, to have a hospital room wait for you. I mean, I waited for the hospital room because in the emergency room they said, we have a room for you, but it's not ready yet. So the next day they said, yeah, it's ready now. You can go. And it was 8/19, you know, which adds up to 9/9. But and since my wife died, what does she use? She uses the clock, the electric clock. And like I'll be in bed and I get a message, open your eyes and look at the clock. And I'll look and it'll be 9s again. Or our anniversary, you know, the marriage date. Right. It'll always be something significant and unique. And I don't always feel like opening my eyes to look at the clock. It's some kind of message that comes. And I'd say to people, again, when you're ready, let your body know, let your spirit know, and the transition will come without problems. You know, you don't have to be miserable, fight to kill, you know, your disease and all the stuff you're going through. When you're ready, when you're tired, the words were, one of my relatives, no dinner, no pills. And I told the nurses, he's dying tonight. You know, don't drive him crazy with pills and things. And when I came in the next morning to visit, they said, he died last night. I said, I told you. You know, that's what he's going to do. And your body gets the message. And I have to say, the reason I got into this was the other side of the coin. People who didn't want to die. You know, and see, doctors call that, and that's wrong, spontaneous remission. Why don't they talk to the patient and realize it's not spontaneous? See? That it's self-induced healing. The person who doesn't want to die and who starts doing things, and it makes a difference to their body. And a lot of times what they did, because they weren't trying not to die, they didn't think it would happen, but what they did was, what do I want to do the last few weeks of my life that would make me happy?
Right.
So they moved, they closed their business, they did all kinds of things so they'd have free time to enjoy it. And then I always remember the line of the guy, I may have said this to you already, who went to Colorado because it was beautiful in the mountains to die there. And I was really upset I wasn't invited to the funeral. So after 2 years, I thought, he's got to be dead by now. I called up and he answered the phone. And he said,
the way you said that.
Yeah, he answered the phone and he said, Bernie, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die. And another was a guy with loads of money, big business, very professional. Every employee had to wear a suit and tie, and, you know, everybody had to look classy. And then he learned he's going to die. And I met him when he was introducing me to give a lecture. And he was dressed in the casual, you know, like old outdoor clothing. And I thought, how can he get up on a stage with that? So I said to him, why are you dressed like that? He said, when they tell you you're going to die, who cares what you're wearing? So he said, when they told me I was going to die in a short time, I stopped wearing suit and tie when I went to work. I told all my employees, relax and wear casual clothes or whatever you want. Because he said, I used to have a dress code at my place, you know, where I had my business. He said, and I noticed something. Everybody was happier, and I didn't die when I was supposed to. And he said, that's why I have these, you know, clothes on while I introduce you. I'm not worried what anybody thinks. I just want to be comfortable. And I'd hear stories like that. I'd burst out laughing because they weren't trying not to
die. Well, we need to take our first break, Bernie. So hold your next thought. And everyone, stay with us. Don't go away. More with Dr. Bernie Siegel when we return in a couple minutes.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of DreamVision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. You can hear his show every Thursday and Friday on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you want to learn more about Bernie or just connect with him, you can do so. Go on his site. It's BernieSiegelMD.com. Siegel is S-I-E-G-E-L, Bernie SiegelMD.com. And when you go there, you can see all kinds of stories and things and books. He's written 17 books and counting. So you can check that out and go on his Facebook page and all that good stuff. So Bernie, I have a question for you. Do you feel that, I mean, if you did know your day, what would you do? What would you do to celebrate?
Oh, if I knew, I would have a party. Definitely.
You would?
Yeah. I'd invite everybody to come together and to even say, all right, let's hold hands. Now I'm going to die. So let's hold hands. And we'll say goodbye to each other. Because, you know, I don't want people to see death as a failure. Not living
right.
is a failure.
Well,
and I mean
that's
that.
Right.
Not living your authentic life. That's a whole, I'm glad you brought that up, because the big issue is if you're living a life that others impose on you, you're not really living a life. I mean, I don't like to keep talking about him, but this is a part of it. Donald Trump. You know, he had parents who wanted him to be a success, make money, you know, do everything right. We can be proud of you. So look where he is now and what he's doing. You know, he's not loving his life and other people. He's busy trying to be impressive to others. You know, money, I'll be a president, I'll be this, I'll be that. And I keep saying to people, don't fight with him. Just say, I love you, Donald, when you meet him. He won't know what to do. I mean, rather than tell everybody what's wrong with him, tell him you love him. And things will happen.
I mean, it's a good point, Bernie.
Yeah. And these are things that are proven. I was something up in front of me on my desk. Life's lessons for parents. Oh, yeah, that's it. I put that down. I need to write another book. Life's Lessons for Parents. You know, raising children and pets. Because when they grow up with love, they're different people and pets. And these are facts to share with you. A study was done of Harvard students. They were asked, did your parents love you? If they said no, they were all looked up, you know, like in middle age, 30 or 40 years later. And what they found was, if they said no, it was almost all of them, at least three quarters, had suffered a significant illness in the intervening years since graduation. If they said, yes, my parents loved me, only one-fourth had suffered a major illness in those years. And that's when you begin to see how you brought up, loved by parents or grandparents, you know, somebody steps in to love you, it can make a difference. And that's what I learned with patients, too. I said to a lot of people, I'll be your father. I'll be your father.
Yeah.
And boy, some of them were just so happy that somebody cared about them and was willing to take them in and love them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So remember,
you know, I have another question for you. Do you think it's fair, even in this day and age, to tell a patient they don't have much time to live or get your affairs in order, or tell a young woman that she's only got 3 months to live? Do you think that's fair? What is your perspective?
I think by putting a date on it, you kill people.
I agree with
you.
Why?
You can let them know the risk that they're exposed to. And tell them, see, that's why. You can tell them miracles happen. So
yes.
Give them hope. Yeah. See, it changes your chemistry. That's what I learned when I started support groups for cancer patients. Because I'll tell you, I felt terrible. You know, when people, I thought, they're going to die. What can I do for them? Well, what I learned is what I can do for them is help them to live until they die. You know, to face death. And straighten out things in their lives. Say I love you to people. And, you know, change relationships. But then I noticed they didn't die when they were supposed to.
Right. You have so many stories of that.
Yeah,
right.
I've said to you before. You know, people who were dying and hated their body and lay naked. And I don't make up any of these. Lay naked in front of a mirror and started loving themselves and their disease went away. So, you know, or that Monday, you have more suicides and deaths because people don't like their life and their work and all that stuff. So if you said, I'm going to die, what would I like to do before I die? How would I like to improve my life? And then you may be amazed at the benefits you get. Yeah.
Right. So how can we change that? How do we change physicians?
Well, you do what makes you happy. That's a simple statement. In other words, you pay attention to your feelings, not what do I think will impress the neighbors. Oh, I'm going to die. I got to have a fancy funeral. I mean, what would make
But as far as the doctors that say that, because we've experienced that in our own family.
Well, they're trained poorly. Yeah, I mean, I'm so sick and tired of that because I think I must have told you. I say to doctors, draw yourself working as a doctor. I mean, the first time I did that, it shocked the hell out of me. I had 90 medical students who wanted me to talk to them. So I went, you know, to their school to talk. And I said to them, I want you to do this exercise. Draw yourself working as a doctor and pass the drawings up to me. 90 drawings. Only one had a patient in it, sitting in a wheelchair. And that was the only one also that didn't have the doctor sitting behind a desk with a diploma on the wall, no patients. I was so shocked when I saw that. But that's the trouble and why patients have so much trouble. The doctors are treating a disease, not an experience that the patient is having. They're treating a diagnosis. And that doesn't help the patient any. Yeah, you might cure somebody. With a treatment, but you still haven't changed the patient. And more trouble is coming to them. But when you look at them and say, look, what's going on here? This is the way I've done it. and you can do this with your relatives too, they have a problem. Say, what word do you use to describe your problem? That what you're going through? Draining. Failure. Pressure. Those are words that have come to me. The pressure was from a lady who was admitted to the hospital with severe headaches. And I said, what's the pressure in your life? My marriage. Failure. What's the failure? Well, my body failed me. I have cancer. I said, that's not my question. What's the failure in your life? Boom. She said something immediately. And each person, their eyes light up when that word comes up because they all realize, wow, that's not about my disease. That's about my life. And I need to straighten that out. And literally, I've had people, that lady said it's my marriage. Her headaches were so severe, she was being admitted to the hospital. After I said to her, and she wasn't my patient. The funny thing was, I'm talking to patients, and the staff in the ER said, Siegel, lower your voice. You're disturbing this lady with a severe headache. So that's when I went into her room to help her. And 15 minutes later, the same people who told me to lower my voice said, she's on the way home. It's our marriage. And they learned something, too, you know, to help people with what's going on in their life. So I've done that, and I do it to myself, too. If I have an ache or a pain or something, I'll say, what does it feel like? And then I see if there's anything else that's contributing to it that I can eliminate and help myself feel better. So don't be afraid.
Right, I do the same.
Treat yourself and be your own physician, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. There's so many opportunities to help your body heal if we could tune into that on a regular basis.
Right.
A lot of ill people would be healthy.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, yeah, there was, I was in the emergency room with my own patient, and the staff came over and said, lower your voice, lower your voice. There's a lady in there with a severe headache. And you're talking so loud, you're giving her more headache. So I went in, and she was the one who had said her headache was pressure. And then I got her to say, it's my marriage, my husband, that's my pressure.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes later, the staff in the ER came to me. She's on the way home. It's her marriage. Now, they were shocked. How could her headache go away? They're admitting her to the hospital, and Siegel goes in to talk to her, and her pain is gone. So whether it's cancer or a headache or an ingrown toenail, you can always say to yourself, what words would I use to describe it to somebody else? And then what else in my life fits those words so I can help my health and my wife, life and feeling better? Yeah.
Right. Those are powerful words and suggestions for everyone, I believe, Bernie.
You know, I don't know if you heard
in day to day,
but I just said wife instead of life, and then I said life after.
I know.
Yeah.
That's because she's with you.
Yeah. And again, how could that accident happen? It's not an accident. What's going on inside of you? Yeah.
Right. Well, we need to take our next break. So everyone, if you would like to get in touch with Bernie, it's BernieSiegelMD.com. And then tune in to his show every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. So we'll be back in a moment, a couple minutes.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life. Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and we're talking with Bernie, Dr. Bernie Siegel. He's a revered thought leader, retired surgeon, prolific author of 17 books. And one of his books, the first one, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, was on the New York bestseller for, what was it, close to a year? Bernie?
Probably. It was number one on the nonfiction for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, let me just say something. Sorry to interrupt, but I have a magazine here. I think it's from the 40s even. It said, the New York Magazine and New Yorker, I think, magazine, and the headline on the cover was, Interview with the Controversial Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Right.
I called him. I said, what are you talking about, the controversial? Well, you know, and the guy who wrote the article talked to me, and he was so negative, you know, about me and what I'm saying and what I'm doing that isn't proven. It's mystical. How could you say that? You know, what science backs you up? I mean, it was just ridiculous. Arguing with him. I got a kick, but again, the content, see, of people. My mother calls me, Bernie, there's an article about you in a magazine. It's wonderful. That's my mother. You know, I think it's terrible, but she's so proud of her son. He's got his name on the cover, and he's written up in the magazine. I had a laugh at that.
Sure.
But, you know, our views change so many things. But see, but now what I'm known for isn't controversial. I mean, now they have a group called IANS, Institute for the Advancement of Near-Death
Experience,
you know, stories.
Yeah.
What if they had written about
something?
Near-death, you know, yeah. But now,
do you get excited when you think about you a part of the catalyst of, you know, having people start a program like that and how large it is that you played a part in that?
Yeah, I've had near-death experiences. I'm not going to get into all the crazy things I've had. I'm not afraid to talk about them. People want to think I'm crazy, fine, think I'm crazy. But when something happened to them, then I'm no longer crazy because now they've had the same experience. But, you know, I know.
Does Dr. Eben Alexander ring a bell to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's at, well, he was at Mass General. I don't know if he still is, but he's a well-known physician and has written a number of books on his experience and how even his experience was hard to fathom for other physicians in just 5 years ago. But there's so much more information and a lot of people coming forth right. telling their stories that make people realize it is a mystical life and we can do yeah. all these things if we just believe.
Yeah, life is a mystery. But if you don't calm your intellect, then it doesn't change. You know what I mean? You block out so much. And because I was, as I say, working with cancer patients, working with people who are dying. And like one of the terms, think about self-induced healing versus a spontaneous remission.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, how a doctor's trained. Oh, your disease went away. You had a spontaneous remission. I would say, hey, stupid. Ask the patient why they got better. Don't say you were lucky. You had a spontaneous remission. Say, how come he didn't die when you were supposed to? See, that's what I would say. Then they would tell me.
Yeah.
I moved. You know, I got a new job. I got married. I bought a dog. I mean, everybody did something that affected their life, and it affects your chemistry. Monday, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. You don't like what you're doing?
Mm.
Look what happens. So when people start doing what they love, they're changing their chemistry. That's why.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we're all going to die someday. It's not a failure. But try living and enjoy it. And the time it provides you when your body is enjoying your experience. And you go on. So relationships, all kinds of things. Yeah, Monday we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. If you don't like what you're doing every day, you know, the job, Monday does it for you, keeps you from going to work. I'll get a heart attack, I'll get sick, No, enjoy it. Enjoy your life. Yeah.
Think about
and
the pandemic and what that creates. Yeah, remember with the pandemic, it created a lot of people staying at home and working from their home, and then they realized how exciting it was to be at home. People put pools in the backyard. You know, they were putting up, you know, just really fixing the yard and insides because they were there, and it brought them so much joy.
Yeah. Yeah, and then some people see Siegel as causing pressure and problems, because if they die, then they didn't do what Siegel told us all to do. You know, I must have done it wrong. No, I didn't say that. We're all going to die someday. But when you die has a lot to do with how you're living. You know, whether it's what you're eating, exercise, self-love. All of those issues are real because, again, it becomes the chemistry of your body. If we draw blood from you when you're depressed, we have a different white blood cell count and other, you know, and chemistries versus if you're happy and loving and caring about yourself. And that's why the love factor of yourself and from parents and others makes a difference. Yeah, and you could say to people, don't forget this, I love you. I don't like what you're doing, but I love you. I mean, we have five children, and I got across to them that I may not be happy with what they're doing, but I love them. And I always admired them. I mean, the fifth one, little guy, he said, "You don't love me as much as my brother." I said, "Yes, I do." But I was giving his brother a lot of attention, not because of love, but because his brother was driving me nuts. See, that's another thing you have to remember. The kid who drives you crazy gets you to pay attention. The loving, sweet, kind child, you don't notice them. because they don't mm-hmm. bother you, don't cause trouble. And it's the same. See, if you have pets, you live a longer, healthier life because you have relationships mm-hmm. and connection. I always remember a doctor in Australia who became my friend when I was visiting there. And, you know, we talked about this and what I was doing. And he let me know. He said, Bernie, I just discovered something. This was later, after I had gone home. He said, when I go to patients' homes who have heart attacks, he said, I drive because they're spread all over Australia. And I've noticed something. If they have made it after the heart attack for many months, there's almost always a dog in the house. And I thought that was really interesting. And I said, yeah, because that changes their chemistry. They have a dog. Mm-hmm. They pet it. They feel better. And those are things that we have to remember and pay attention to. Because I've had so many mystical things happen with pets and animals and even a butterfly.
Yes. Tell us about the butterfly. We only have a few minutes left, right. But it would be neat to hear the butterfly story as we go out.
Well, I have a picture of my wife with it sitting on her shoulder. A patient of mine went to Australia and died there. We went there to do a workshop, my wife and I. I'll try to make a long story short. Get off the plane, go into a pharmacy to get some things. There's a butterfly flying around in the pharmacy. My wife puts her hand up, because we're always rescuing everything, and the butterfly flies over, lands on her hand, and comes out of the store with us. And I said, you better brush it off. We're going to the hotel. But it wouldn't leave. If she brushed it, it mm-hmm. just went to the other shoulder. So we drove to the hotel. To make a long story short, the butterfly sits on my wife's shoulder, goes into the hotel, up the elevator, into the room, sits on the table in the kitchen area. And I said, you can't sleep with a butterfly, honey. Get rid of it. We got to go to bed. My wife goes out on the porch of the room with it on her shoulder and says, all right, I brushed it off. I said, look at your other shoulder. It came back in. Mm. And I knew this was not just a butterfly, if you know what I mean. This one was connected right. to us and my patient and everything. So we went back in, gave it a place to spend the night, took it to a workshop outdoors the next day. It flew over everybody's head. This is a big crowd outdoors. And never left. Just kept circling and circling. And when the workshop was over, then it flew up and away. But I told everybody who it was and why it stayed. And I have photographs of my house. And then I've had other butterflies of the same type come to our house here in Connecticut. And even some bump on the window, and I let them in. It's just amazing. Outside the front door. So, you know, I just have this connection. I forgot the name of the butterfly, what type, but it has, it's sort of an orangey yellow color with black stripes in the wings.
And a monarch?
It's just amazing.
A monarch?
What did you
say? A monarch.
I don't know.
Butterfly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't give you a name. I can't remember.
But,
you know, when I did the workshop, I told people it was a spirit. And it just stayed over them the whole day. And
yes, which is, I love that story, Bernie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, it's time for us to say goodbye for today. Everyone get in touch with BernieSiegelMD.com. Do you want to leave a few words with the listeners?
Well, I don't remember who said it to me, but when you live in your heart, magic happens. So do
Perfect.
What makes you happy. That was Elizabeth Kubler Ross when I was having trouble being a doctor, you know, the pain of being a doctor, because I cared about people.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, draw a picture. I drew a picture, and I couldn't believe how much she knew about me from an outdoor scene. And that's what got me into this, you know, working with my patients, drawing pictures, getting to know them. It was amazing. Yep.
Yeah. You are amazing, Bernie. Yes, and I thank you for all the people that you have helped and healed and all of the, through all the years that you've been there for others. I thank you for that. I'm in gratitude for everyone that has experienced your gifts.
Thank you. And I say to people, don't be afraid to be different, if you know what I mean. People
that's
say
right.
Me, that's
celebrate
crazy.
Differences.
You know, I can't believe that. Well, but then when something happens to them, they call you up and say, oh, Bernie, let me tell you what happened. And one more thing, and I promise this is a short one. One
of my patients was a mystic. We need to fly, Bernie.
All right, but she was a mystic, and she started calling me about phone calls she got from dead patients sending messages to me. And she had no way of knowing them or their names, and yet she was able to do that. So keep your minds open. Okay.
Keep Bye-bye. Your mind open. All right, Bernie. Well, thank you so much. And everyone, share Bernie's show, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.